Also, Nick Robertson will play.
It's exciting.
I'm excited to see him play.
So much has gone on for Toronto this year, and it's a lot of it. Most of it's been great. And Nick Robertson was supposed to be a big part of the story.
Right.
What good, bad, or whatever happened to him, we were going to learn some stuff.
Games 1-4 against Columbus, Robertson was in the lineup.
That seems like so long
ago. It does.
I have no recollection of like what he played like and how good he can be. So I'll be excited. I'm sure he will be, too, to get back.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him play tonight. And I guess a man that was involved in that decision, a guy who's been very busy over the last week or so, joins us now. Here's the GM of the Maple Leafs, Kyle Dubas. How you doing, Kyle?
Hey, good, Brian. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing very well. We'll get to the deals in a moment, but we're just talking about Nick Robertson getting his debut tonight. And that Columbus series in the bubble, Johnny just said, it feels like ages ago. It feels like a long, long time ago. So what should Leaf fans be expecting? What went into this decision, and what should we expect out of Nick tonight?
Yeah, I've locked the Columbus series out of my mind as well. Sheldon and I were talking about this today, and I just said, like, do you consider this as, like, that was a wild card qualifier series. So I said, like, would you consider this his first NHL game? And Sheldon reminded me that he actually played earlier this year in Ottawa when he got hurt. And I was like, general manager of the team should probably remember that. But
I didn't remember that either. So
yeah,
you're not alone.
He said that, you know, remember he got hurt in Ottawa in the third game of the season. So, he's come back from that and gone and played for the Marlies. And really the situation was with the Barabanov trade happening today. Alex, who'd been in the lineup the last two games, you know, we had just felt he's played more recently than the other two members up front of the taxi squad who were on the trip. And, it's his position at left wing that was coming open, and he's played pretty well for the Marlies. So let him get in here and fire away tonight.
All right, Kyle, to the day at hand, trade deadline. Maybe just walk through whatever the last three or four days you had some sort of checklist in your mind or written down on paper, things you wanted to try to accomplish, trying to gauge the market and the costs and your salary cap and everything that has to go into it. How close were you to checking off just about everything on your list?
I think you, in the moment, you think you've tried to accomplish everything, and certain things are going to happen. The team's going to evolve the rest of the year, and you know, we'll look back in hindsight, and I think the goal is to try to look back on it. I think we've given the team the best chance, and you know, the things that we outlined going in were just given the situation to bolster our depth in net, and then to bolster our depth up front with a, you know, more defensive-minded, right-handed face-off guy that could kill penalties. And that's why Riley Nash came into it. And we had been talking to them, and then he got injured. And just by the confluence of all the different mechanisms of the salary cap and such, that actually made it more enticing for us. And it just worked out well with Columbus on him. And then the key to it was adding a forward with great competitiveness and defensive reliability, but also someone that could drive play and chip in on offense and play up and down our lineup. And that's where Nick Foligno came in, and then Ben Hutton today to bolster our depth on D. So we're fairly happy with how it went, but I mean, we still have a lot of room to develop in the rest of the year and set ourselves up for the playoffs once all the guys get in and rolling.
Hey, Kyle, a year ago and plus at the last trade deadline, things were not so clear for your team. You talked about how it was a Jekyll and Hyde operation. Mm-hmm. You seemed a little flummoxed about what your team was. So much has changed since then, including, I think, maybe the organizational philosophy about how you build a team. I mean, how would you lay that out?
I don't know. I mean, I certainly understood there couldn't be more polar opposites, Dave, in terms of the way that things have gone. I mean, that trade deadline, we were right in the middle of a stretch from January to the end of February where we just, you know, we had a lot of injuries, but we also just really weren't playing well overall. Like I would still have probably had a different mindset going into it if we had injuries, but we were really playing hard and playing well, and I just didn't think that we were. So earlier that month, we had attempted we added Campbell and Clifford to address things, and then it just sort of our you know, up and down play continued through February, and so it's sort of, you know, you thought the team was talented, but maybe we lacked some other elements, and so in the summer You know, I think our philosophy in general has not changed, but just, I guess what we feel have been mistakes, and those mistakes fall on me in terms of complementing the talent of the group with what goes around it. And so, you know, we obviously, the core of the group remains by and large the same, but just in terms of developing the competitiveness and the environment in the locker room and the accountability amongst the guys and the types of people that we have has really been the major focus from the off season in through the year here. So, you know, I think the core philosophy is the same, but I just think in lessons learned and my mistakes in the past has been what type of complementary pieces can bring the most out of our group and push us to another level. And credit to the players. I think one of the key things for me and freeing us up to kind of act and behave the way that we have at this deadline has been that when we had a similar stretch early March, we lost 6 of 7 games. I thought we only had a few of those games where we actually really played poorly, the Saturday night game at home against Winnipeg and then the following night in Ottawa. And the rest of them, I thought we were playing well. And then the guys stabilized themselves and pulled their way out of it. And I thought that was a really, really positive sign of growth from the group, because that type of thing didn't really happen last season. And so that's sort of been the guiding improvement or development, you might say, that led us to sort of make the moves we made in the last several days.
With Kyle Dubas, yourself and Sheldon have been pretty consistent since the end of last year that ultimately you guys are going to go where your best players are going to drag you. Yeah. And you have been compared in your model to that of the Tampa Bay Lightning, which obviously they included a lot of pieces at the deadline and in the previous offseason. But really, it was Point, Kucherov, Hedman, Vasilevsky. It was the big boys that dragged them to a cup final and ultimately were triumphant there. That message appears to be getting across. I mean, Austin's been exceptional. Mitch Marner's been absolutely outstanding. You've been getting consistent performances from your top four, your goaltenders for the most part when they've been healthy. How did that message getting across apply to what you decided to do over the last 48 hours?
Well, I think the credit for that, Brian, has to go to Sheldon and the players. I mean, they're executing it each day. And but the messaging from the beginning, and I know, you know, in the end, you know, you're going to be judged after the season and what the outcome of that is. But we really put a lot of emphasis on one of the things that we felt we lacked last year, which was the consistency in our form and the way that we played the regular season and how important that was going to be to set us up well heading into this stretch and securing a playoff position and in the best position we could going into the playoffs. So I think last year's disappointment, though, it's, you know, you hate when you go through it and you're so disappointed when you come up short of what your expectations are. I think the way that the players in particular have responded from, you know, the Monday after the last game against Columbus and early August in the bubble to now has served to me to be the greatest signal that the group is growing. And I think we're still going to have our ups and downs and our disappointments, but we're taking good steps, and that's been a byproduct of the coaching staff and the players working together. And certainly I think remaining consistent and locked in here throughout the year. And most importantly, as I mentioned during Dave's question, being able to find a way to pull themselves out of a bit of a rut there early March.
Kyle, Brian mentioned the big guys playing very well, and they have. And one of the big guys that we associate with your team has been Freddie Anderson. So I'm curious, two things about the goaltending. One, how much did the no quarantine for David Rittich impact your decision to go after him as a potential backup or a depth goaltender? And what can you tell us about Freddie Anderson? What should we be expecting of Freddie Anderson, his health, his availability, where you are at with him eventually coming back to this lineup when he can?
Sure. On the first question, Mike, on Dave, he was the goalie. We'd gone through the list and what was available and keyed in on him. It just so happens perfectly that, you know, he's in Canada and that their team was on their way here to Toronto, to be able to face us. So sometimes it works out, you know, really well in that way. And we had that with Galchenyuk early in the year as well.
Is Dave hitching a ride, Kyle, with Calgary here? Is he jumping on their plane coming here?
That's my understanding.
That's
yeah.
Amazing.
So, you know, that's that sort of worked out well in that regard. But he was really, you know, as we went through the list of goaltenders that were available, and you know, he was the guy that we had sort of keyed on. He has great experience. He was, an all-star last season in 2020, and that same all-star game that Fred was at, and has shown that, you know, he can steal games when he's on. And so we're excited to get him in and work with him. With regards to Fred, the way that we view it is, I know people would like concrete answers, but, you know, we view it that he'll be back, but he'll be back only when he's, you know, 150% healthy. And with the way that Jack has played, and then bolstering the depth with David Rittich, and then also with the way that Michael Hutchinson has played when he's been in, it just gives us the breathing room to allow Fred to only return when he's at his best. And he came back and he played, he was injured, he came back and played and had a setback, which has caused him to be out now. And thankfully for the play of Campbell and Hutchinson, it's allowed us to just really reset and say we need to get him at 100% come playoff time and have him ready to roll, because he's a hugely important member of the club.
Okay, I can appreciate you not telling me exactly. I understand what's going on. But like, are you expecting him at least to return in the regular season at some point, or is that still up in the air?
Yeah, we're expecting him to return when he's 100%.
He did not give me anything, Kyle.
Yeah. So, I mean, we certainly hope so. But that if it's with a week left or 2 weeks left or the start of the playoffs, it's not we're not going to really focus on that, other than, you know, he needs to be 100% comfortable and ready to roll and go from there.
With Kyle Dubas, GM of the Maple Leafs, so when you make deals, generally speaking, there are three options that are going to lead to the deal actually happening. You're going to give up a roster player, a prospect, or picks. You have exclusively given up picks for the most part here. How did you weigh that decision, Kyle, as opposed to either trading someone currently on your roster, one of your higher-end prospects, but deciding ultimately to trade almost exclusively future draft picks?
Yeah, a lot of it, Brian, is what the other teams prefer as well, and it seemed that there was, in the conversations we had, there was more of a focus on draft picks for the clubs that we were dealing with. One of our major goals is, if we could, we were trying to get out from today without removing anybody from the room. And that, I mean, we moved Alex Barabanov to San Jose for Antti Suomela, but otherwise the group remains the same that has been here. And it's got a very close bond. Obviously, this year is such a different year. They spend so much time together, especially on the road, where there's nothing to do, so you're in the hotel and you're abiding by all the guidelines, but that's their only social interaction is with each other and at the rink and at the hotel. And otherwise, when we're at home, they're at home if they're not at the rink. So the group has become very, very close, and I didn't really want to tinker with that. And with our prospects, you know, whether it's right or wrong, in the end, we know them, and we've had a lot of them working with our development staff and in our development program already, and was trying to get through it without sacrificing them or having to have them come out, especially on the draft pick side. You know, we had a lot of draft picks, a surplus number of them in last year's draft. So, you know, I know we're pretty scarce in the coming two seasons, but we feel we stock the system fairly well in October, and we'll just, you know, I think our focus now will be on, I think, any agent or player that goes undrafted in terms of a tryout or free agent situation. We'll have lots of opportunity here, so we'll hope to backfill it that way. And as always, the pick situation has a way of changing itself.
Yep, that can fluctuate for sure. Well, it's been a whirlwind leading up to the draft. We appreciate all the content you supplied us. That's our priority, as always, as you know, Kyle. And good luck tonight, tomorrow, the rest of the way, and into the playoffs, and I'm sure we'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Okay. All right, guys. Thank you. Have a good night.
There's Kyle Dubas, the GM of the Leafs.
He needs a break, too.
Yeah, he does.
He would have been grinding the last 10 days.
There was
like
a lot
Brendan
that went
Pridham,
into it.
Like, a lot going on this trade deadline, even more than usual.
Yep.
Expansion, cap, all of it.
Big time. And they've added a lot of pieces.